in your car on Google Play and Android Auto. You're listening to The Rush with Ryan and Jay on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
All right, it's last call as we help celebrate Margapalooza, Canada's biggest margarita festival. At Lone Star Texas Grill, 16 fun, fruity, and downright crazy margaritas. Text the word MARG and your name to 71010 right now. That's M-A-R-G and your name to 71010 to win one of $300 gift cards. Enjoy. To find a Margapalooza near you, visit lonestar.ca.
It's 5:35, of course, on a Friday afternoon, which means we bring in Mayor John Tory. He's usually here with us Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Let me just lock him in here myself. Mayor John Tory, nice to have you.
Hey, Ryan and Jay, how you doing?
Not too bad. Let's talk about the positive to start here. Today, of course, we entered stage three or step three in the reopening process. How are you feeling and what kind of buzz are you hearing as to how it's going out there?
People are just generally feeling better and better, and that's good. And as long as they don't lose sight of the fact that they've got to get themselves vaccinated, and if they already are, get somebody else too, because we've got some distance to go on that. I was talking to Premier Ford this morning and saying that we're optimistic we can reach those targets that they've set for getting out of even stage three and moving on to kind of an even more open city. And, we've got to keep at it, though. We've got to be doing like tens of thousands a day, and that requires people to sign themselves up or to sign up other people they know who haven't been vaccinated. So I'm feeling good, though. You know, there's just a sense in the street and when you see people that they're happier. It is summer, which helps, but I think it's also just that things are open. They can go and do some of the things they've been missing so much and just see other people.
I have noticed, though, that the tone is different. You know, you must notice this with even media coverage. It's usually that's all we would be talking about for 4 or 5 days leading up to the fact that we're actually getting into the new sort of regulations and the lessening of the regulations. Do you think that has anything to do with sort of maybe we're just inside of a little bit of quiet optimism at this point? It's like, okay, this is good. We're all doing the right things. Let's not make too big of a deal out of it. Let's just do the right thing. Move forward.
Yeah, I think so. Because today was a big deal. It's probably a bigger deal than stage two, if you know what I mean.
Because
you had indoor dining, theaters, gyms, music venues. So it was a big deal. But I think it's fatigue, too. I think people are just sort of saying, thank God, because we had so many false starts. And we don't want this one to be a false start in the sense that, there are still problems in European countries and in the U.S. with this Delta variant. It is not something that has just sort of mysteriously gone away. But I just think, people are just, I don't know. I think they are a combination of fatigued and just feeling good because it's summertime. And so I think the combination of all that made it a less big deal. Plus, unfortunately, there was other news going on with, bad things, tornadoes and stuff that kind of made it down the list a bit.
We found out yesterday, actually we talked about it yesterday, I think we found out on Wednesday, that the city spent more than $9,000 on a residential washer-dryer set. This was just one of the multiple instances of overbilling, a lack of oversight. It was revealed in a report to the city council on Wednesday. As mayor, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'd be pretty disappointed hearing this kind of information. It's not new to the city of Toronto where waste happens, where we kind of get gouged. Is it just that we have a rubber stamp department that isn't charged with the idea of going and looking for value for taxpayers?
I'm not passing this off because, I was going to use the word that I'm pissed about this kind of stuff because I am. I do get that way, but I will tell you something. Bell Media, for which you guys work and I used to work, Rogers, which I ran, big companies, big organizations, multi-billion dollar organizations, there are reports written inside the company you work for where they do the same sort of thing. People make mistakes, they are careless, and so on. The difference with the city, and I'm very thankful for this, is that it's all made public in a way that, that is meant to shine a light on this kind of thing. And I can just assure you that when these things happen, and in a $14 billion organization, I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying it's going to happen from time to time. The key is to sort of figure out who did it, how did it happen, and take steps to address that. But, these things make me so crazy because, the thing is that everybody understands this. Like, everybody listening understands exactly, the magnitude of that kind of screw up where I think they said the actual washer and dryer would cost, $2,000 if you had to buy it, properly. So it's frustrating. It's one of the most frustrating parts. But I'm glad it's all made public because then that really, keeps the whip on everybody here to try and do better.
Are you less diplomatic behind the scenes, though, when you're looking for these answers than you are right now with us?
Well, yes, but look, there's no point. I deal here with 25,000, I think is the number in total, excluding police officers and so on, of the most wonderful people who do work hard. They do. And they kept all the services going during the pandemic and and so on. And they're people who work much harder and are much smarter about what they do than they're often given credit for. And so I don't yell and scream and throw shoes, but I do, you know, I do make it very clear to them that what happens is it undermines confidence in them, even more so than in me, but it undermines confidence in the leadership to people like myself and in the entire process, and that that's not good, and that this is somebody else's money, that we have to treat it with respect. But I don't do it by swearing and yelling and shouting, because I've sort of realized that doesn't really accomplish much.
Doesn't this job?
Well, I know. And look, I've been in that job, but I didn't do much swearing there either. But I do get angry. They know that I'm not happy about these things. I'm just saying it's the way I do it.
Yeah,
that is the way I've always done it. And so,
I think quiet, slow, deliberate, you would be scarier than yelling you, actually.
You know what? There's a fair point to that about a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, very true.
Look, you know what? They don't want to disappoint you either. They know that I'm out there taking most of the flack. I mean, not too many of them end up on the radio with you guys taking flack on the stuff. I take it. And they actually don't want me to have to take that flack because they know it's not good for anybody, including me. But so that's why I don't really have to yell. I can just kind of look and say, well, this wasn't really a very good show, to say the least.
Thank you for taking us behind the curtain a little bit. Let's talk about something that didn't happen yesterday. Yesterday, a citywide rooming house proposal to legalize and license those spaces, something you supported, didn't have enough votes to pass. Do you think it might still pass in the fall?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't have bothered to defer it. I mean, I just didn't want to let it go down. The history of this, you know, in 30 seconds, is literally that when the city amalgamated, way back when, the city of Toronto allowed for these multi-tenant houses, and the rest of the city, North York, Etobicoke, Scarborough, did not. And right now, we need this housing, and the fact is it exists in Scarborough, North York, and Etobicoke, but it's unregulated, and you would talk to people out there and hear all of the complaints about these illegal multi-tenant rooming houses, and what we were going to do is try and regularize it by making them legal, but that meant you'd license them, you would inspect them, and right now you can't even really get inside them. So I'm optimistic that solving that problem and not eliminating housing that is much needed in a city that is looking for affordable housing of different kinds, that I can work with the people who are opposed to this. I had talked to almost every person opposed to it, maybe every single one who was opposed, and I just couldn't get the necessary consensus, and so we put it over for a month, and I'm going to work hard in the next month to move this forward.
Yesterday I was defeated by City Council. You all approved the vacant home tax, so I've lost that battle. I'll concede defeat. What metrics will you be using, aside from revenue, to know that this is actually successful?
But you know what, Ryan? It won't be revenue that will mark the success. What the success will be marked by is how many units of housing presently vacant in those ghost condo towers that are dark at night, so you know nobody's living there, and in houses that are up and down streets in this city. People will phone and tell you, if you ask them, that there are streets, houses they know of on their street that are vacant and empty, and this is not good for a healthy neighborhood. And the mark will be how many of those units go back on the market to be rented to somebody, because we need the housing and because it's not good for neighborhoods to keep those, or buildings to keep those units safe. In Vancouver, 6,000 units went back on the market, and that's the whole purpose of this. If it didn't raise a penny, but it caused all those units to go back on the market, I'd be a happy guy.
Let's end on a positive note. All three levels of government contributing to a combined almost $36 million, just shy, to build a new community center in Scarborough. It's meant to meet the diverse needs of the neighborhood. Can you tell us what you feel is the significance of this?
Well, the significance of it is it was initiated by the Tamil community. And you know, if sometime there was time to tell the story of the Tamil community on 1010 or anywhere else, this is a group of people who came here with nothing, fleeing unbelievable persecution in their homeland of Sri Lanka. And they established themselves here successfully as great business people, as great citizens. They're in politics, they're everywhere, and they're great parents too, raising wonderful children. And they came together and said that they needed to have a community center. And I challenged them two or three years ago. I went to the very first meeting and said, well, you got to get together, decide what this is going to be. They came up with something that's going to be open to the rest of the community as well, but we'll have a museum of some of their history in it, as well as a gym and all the things you'd expect, some playing fields. And all three governments got together. We gave the land, the city, and the other two governments gave some money. And this is now going to be a magnificent tribute to that community and a great place for them to gather, but also for the rest of the community to get to know them better. So it's all a good news story.
Just a little fun one to end with, because my colleague over here thinks this is appropriate. Would you ever wear a short sleeve shirt to a wedding underneath a sport coat?
No, I don't think so. It's funny, because if you kept your jacket on, who would know? But I don't think I would do it, just because I wear short sleeve golf, like, you know, golf and tennis shirts to do sports and stuff.
Like a white linen button up.
Yeah, no. I don't even. Not only would I not wear one, I don't own one.
Soft
there
cotton.
You go.
All right. Thank you. Note.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Have a Margarita Festival and have a good time. I'm very jealous.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.
You too.
Talk soon. Bye.